You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. My next guest is a household name, not just here on Tlingit Ani, but all over. Welcome to the show, Caldecott Medal winning illustrator and best-selling author, Shaitin Michaela Goad. Hello.
Hello, Ms. Cheech, for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Yake Kwasatini on the Zoom. Wasaiyati.
Yake, I'm doing very, very good. Wasaiyati.
Aktawusagu, yake. Gunaschish. Well, thanks again for being here, Michaela. I wanted to just start off by giving you an opportunity to introduce yourself.
Yes, Tlingit Chinach Ye Khatuasak Shaitin, Tlaikha Chinach Hua Michaela Goad, Kiks Adi Khatsiti, Akish Askagwan Tan. And Tlingit, my name is Shaitin, and my English name is Michaela Goad. I belong to the Kiksadi clan of Shitpa, and I am a Kagwan Tan child, or child of the Kagwan Tan. And I am speaking with you from Sitka.
That's wonderful. And your new book is Berry Song, and I am excited to talk about that. But first, I wanted to ask, how are the berries, the tlik, in Sitka this year? So far.
Oh, they are excellent. It's been fun to learn about berry picking here versus Juneau. It's just a little bit different. Different berries seem to do better over here and vice versa. So it's been really fun finding new patches over the last couple of years. That the salmon berries have been incredible. The red huckleberries are popping up now, and blueberries and black huckleberries and cloudberries, and it's just going off. It's really fun.
And they are really beautiful. The salmon berries especially up here have been just gorgeous, and I could see exactly why you would want to paint them. I wanted to ask, how did it feel to work on these illustrations of berries?
It was so fun. I mean, it sort of felt like coming home in a way. You know, I got started with picture books working with the Alaska Heritage Institute in their Baby Raven Reads grant-funded picture book program, you know, I think in 2016 or 2017. And then after several books with them, I worked with different authors from different Indigenous nations working with major trade publishers. And so everything just sort of expanded, and I was able to learn about all of these different cultures and places around the country and into Canada. And now getting to work on Berry Song, going through the experience of writing the story and then illustrating it, it just felt like coming home. Like I could take all of that experience and return to sort of where I started illustrating and where I grew up. So it was very nostalgic and very rewarding just to be out in nature here and trying to observe and take notes on how the different plants were growing and where, and which ones were growing together, and the way those tree roots looked, and being able to put that into this book was really incredible.
Mm. I'm curious about how you like to work. Like, what does your studio look like? What time of day do you like to paint? Can you sort of describe all that setting for us?
I'm laughing because I'm all over the place always. There's never really any consistency. The last several years, I've also just been hopping studios as, you know, we've moved from Juneau, around Juneau, and then moved to Sitka, trying to find my footing here. For a time, I was working out of the Sheldon Jackson Arts Campus, Sheldon Jackson College, where my grandma went to boarding school when she was around 7 through 14. Mm-hmm. So that was really special to work there. But as a, you know, professional artist working on these books and this deadline publishing schedules, it's really all over the place. Sometimes I'm working long, long days and the occasional all-nighters, especially when I'm on deadlines. And then other times I get to relax and take it a little bit easier and have a lighter load. And I'm not a huge morning person, although I wish I had more discipline and energy in the morning. But I prefer to work later and stay up later. It's nice. It's quieter. I work with a lot of people on the East Coast. So at a certain point in the day, it gets a lot quieter and calmer, which is great for creative work.
You had mentioned some of your past projects working on Baby Raven Reads, and of course a lot of people are familiar with We Are Water Protectors and a lot of other books in between. I'm curious as to how do you think your style has changed over time?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, when I began working with Sea Alaska Heritage, the first book was Jean-Yves Hutloch, Salmon Boy. And that was my first experience illustrating any sort of narrative art or any sort of book. I'd gone to school for graphic design and occasionally got to paint or draw, but did not go to school for, you know, fine art or illustration. So that was a huge learning curve, those first few books with Sea Alaska. And back then, that my art style was just flatter and simpler. And I still used watercolor, which I continue to mostly use today. But it was much flatter. It was a bit more like graphic design like, which made sense because I was coming straight out of graphic design and agency work. And from that first book, it's just been an exercise in getting more comfortable with the medium and the tools. And I've just been adding more and more depth and complexity and layers, a lot of layers, and then learning new medium like colored pencils and pastel and pastel pencils, and then also incorporating digital. So it's just been layering and layering and layering, and now I'm trying to pull back a little bit and find the happy medium.
Is there anything that, any medium that you don't like to work with?
Ooh, I have not really worked much with, you know, like acrylic or oil style paints. Those are harder for me to work with. I love the transparencies and the layering you can really get with watercolor. And I just don't have much experience with those. And I wish I liked pastel more because I love how pastel looks, but I have a hard time with how messy it gets. I can never keep artwork clean.
And here I thought all artists were kind of messy. Well, many people are familiar with your work as an illustrator, but Berry Song was both written and illustrated by you. So tell me what made you want to write this one for yourself, or write this one yourself?
Well, I didn't jump, I had early conversations with my literary agent and the first editor I'd worked with, and they would ask me, do you have any stories you want to tell? And I kept saying, you know, I think so. I'm just not sure yet. I'm just not sure how. And it took, you know, maybe like how many books, 6 or 7 books as an illustrator to get comfortable with the art form, you know, the medium of a picture book, because it's its own unique art form. It has things like the page turn and pacing and narrative storytelling and all of these different elements that I wasn't familiar with. So eventually I did get to a point where I wanted to explore some stories, and my agent and editor are really encouraging, and they gave me a couple prompts early on. I think we started with something really general, like listening to nature. And I tried to write a story based on that, and it didn't go very well because it was too general. And too grandiose, or I was trying to be too grandiose with it. And it wasn't until I tried to, you know, zero in on something that felt more personal, like berry picking, and something I had experience with, something that I could, you know, get really curious and passionate about and put that into the artwork. It, you know, wasn't until I found that the story started to find its way. And it went through a lot of different versions, and it took many twists and turns. But you know, ultimately, I work with many different bookmakers in the Native Kidlet world, and we all try to work towards greater inclusivity and representation in the major trade publishing world, because representation is super important. And I did want to tell my own stories and share about our lifestyles and our cultures and our lands here. And sink it on me and the Tongass National Forest, because it's such a special, unique, and incredibly important ecosystem and part of the world. And so trying to share some of that with a wider audience has been very inspiring.
Yeah, I feel like the images of Berry Song really do capture the kind of like almost magical landscape around us. And a lot of the imagery is really instantly recognizable for those of us who have lived in the region, and some of it's also very specific. So I was just wondering, have you had to explain to a lot of people what a salmon berry is?
You know, you would think I would maybe have had to do that, but I don't think so. It is one of the more unique names. I have this loose rhyming scheme in the book. There's three different refrains, and salmonberry, cloudberry, blueberry, nuganberry, huckleberry, soapberry, strawberry, crowberry. And they all sort of change slightly from refrain to refrain. And it was really fun, but a really big puzzle trying to learn these different names for different berries. Some of them had more regional names, some of them more colloquial names, some like nicknames, and trying to mix and match them, not repeat them, and very loosely rhyme. It was really fun. I learned a lot of new berry names.
Can you talk a bit about how being from a small community and kind of using the nourishment and inspiration you get there to reach a larger audience? How do you sort of translate some of what is really specific to our small part of the world?
Yeah, I remember early conversations with that same editor and agent where I was asking, you know, how specific should I get? Like, are people really interested in hearing these more particular stories that, you know, you and I and people from this region would most likely identify with or understand? But I had a hard time understanding if it would have a wide appeal, these stories and imagery. But I found that the more I leaned into what I knew and what I was curious about and what I felt was special about this place or unique story-wise, the more I think authenticity, obviously it lends the story, and you can feel that in the artwork. So I found it to really be true that saying that, you know, the universals and the details, and it is sort of cliche, but it wasn't until those things clicked together and I really leaned into what I loved that I sort of found my footing.
I'm sure you get all kinds of wonderful feedback all the time. I wonder if you've ever spoken to a child or a young person who has read your books and wanted or came to Alaska because they wanted to see what was it, you know, see the pictures of what you, the pictures that you've drawn or the things that are in your books.
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know if that particular instance has come up where like a kid wants to come here. I've talked with kids from here that really know this place. I think because of the pandemic and the fact that I've had three books come out since March 2020, I haven't interfaced as much as I would like person to person with kids or anybody really. But, you know, particularly children, I haven't been able to do school visits or travel for any of book promotion. So I haven't talked much with kids, which feels so weird. A lot of the conversations I'm having are usually with the caregivers or, you know, education, you know, teachers and librarians, parents, caregivers through digital means, you know, through social media or email or things like that. So yeah, I've certainly talked to a lot of grown-ups who would love to come to this part of the world or who see their own home through the artwork. You know, they see themselves reflected in where they're from and their experiences. And that's important too.
That's really important. Yeah. Okay. I'll save that question for the next time I interview you.
Yeah. I hope I have an answer for you then.
With all the success of your work, especially recently, do you ever feel pressure to relocate somewhere, you know, a little less remote than Chitka or to produce art at a pace that's beyond your limits?
I have not felt pressure to move. No, I do not have any interest in moving or leaving this region. It's just the older I get, the more I just want to stay here forever and ever. So no, I don't feel pressure to move. I do feel pressure in terms of just creating good art, if that makes sense. Last year already, 2021, when the Caldecott news sort of broke in the beginning of 2021, I was working on Berry Song. And so I've started to feel a lot of pressure in terms of what I was making. Is this good enough? Is this what people expect? is it too much what they expect? Am I, you know, being too repetitive? And this, so you start to get in your head a bit more, for sure. But that doesn't happen too often. I think living in a remote area, as a lot of us can relate to, and having our own different little worlds here really, really helps. It feels very separate from the wider publishing industry.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Well, what is next for you? I want you to stay.
Me too.
What's next for you, Michaela? Will you continue to write more of your own books?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope I get to keep making books. It's I feel very grateful to be able to do this work and to work with the folks that I work with and learn from different Indigenous creators and just work towards a great goal, you know, of wider representation. But yes, so Berry Song just came out yesterday, and I'm really excited about that one. It's been a few years in the making. And then I'm going to start another book here soon called Being Home by Tracy Sorrell, sort of a spin on a moving book, like a kid moving. This child is moving back to their ancestral homelands, to the reservation, and they couldn't be more excited about it. So I'm going to be starting that, painting that one soon. And then in March, I have a book coming out called Remember by Joy Harjo, the incredible Joy Harjo. It's one of her more well-known poems, and it's just a fantastic, beautiful, profound, simple poem about sort of, you know, calling on us to remember who we are and where we came from and the power of storytelling and sharing that with the world. And yes, and then I'm working on my next author illustrator book after that.
Wow.
Which I can't really speak too much about because I don't have all the details figured out yet.
That is a lot. I hope that you can come back and talk to us about all of these projects again. But yes, as you mentioned, Berry Song is out now, and it's a great inspiration to go paddle to the spot and get picking, as well as just a lovely tribute to your heritage and your family and your childhood and your land. So Michaela Goad, gunas chish for your time today. It's been lovely to speak with you.
Thank you. Gunas chish. Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm very glad we got to talk about Berry Song. Go check it out. It's available wherever you can get books. So thanks again, Michaela.
Thank you. Happy picking.
You as well. I want to thank my colleague Chandra Boom and artist Chromatic Crystal for help with my questions today. Gunas chish, Kayana.